Nancy gave me a heads up.
Carolyn, that was a was that a motion?
Yes.
It was a motion.
And Louis was the second?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, just checking, thank you.
Every rotation forward is actually four.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, case number 121-318. Are you all set, sir?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
I was all set. Not all set. Yeah, I believe.
You're all set?
All set.
Okay. Sir, can you please identify yourself, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing
here
today? Sure.
Mike Finkelstein, F-I-N-K-E-L-S-T-E-I-N, Chief of Police, Town of East Lyme, issuing authority.
Thank you, Chief. Would you like to make an opening statement?
Sir, I'm going to object.
To his opening statement?
To him representing the town. He is not a licensed attorney.
He doesn't need to be,
He certainly does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. He cannot represent the town in this matter. He's not a licensed attorney.
Your objection is noted as overruled. He is the issuing authority. Would you like to make an opening
statement, sir? The appellant submitted a application for a pistol permit to the East Lyme Police Department, which was incomplete. In that permit, we failed to indicate that there was a safety course that was taken. By statute, it says the issuing authority, the individual shall take that course, which he did not. He also refused or failed to submit to fingerprinting or register with the state police for fingerprinting. He gave backup information, which I think is all in the packet, indicating his conversation with special licensing firearms about that refusal. So, at that point, he was denied. He's also appeared, I believe, before your board two times in the past for the same issue, or similar issues.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes. I went to get a permit. So I can purchase body armor, and the police department wouldn't accept my application.
Okay. All right, Chief, I will note there's an objection, I think, to your evidence that you submitted. So we don't have anything in the record yet. Are you going to be relying on documents that you submitted?
Yes.
Okay.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Would you entertain a motion for this?
Not at this time.
Yes.
Thank you, though.
Well, I have an objection filed, but I think
okay.
If he wants to get him admitted, then possibly at that time we can hear that those
okay.
objections.
All right, Chief, you may proceed with your case.
And as I said, the appellate appeared or presented a state police form for pistol permit application, 779 or 779C form, and again it was not completely filled out, and in it he did not indicate that he took.
I'm going to object. You know, they didn't accept my application. What application is he referring to? The one that I filed, that I attempted to file
state
in December.
State Police DPS 779C, and he dated it July 8th of 2022.
I'm going to object to that. It's not relevant to this case. I believe in my objections in to the submission of that particular record. I noted that this board hears cases on a case-by-case basis.
No.
So why would it matter in reference to a application that was not
well, let me ask
from
you
July.
This
has nothing to do with the July 2022 application.
What is this with regards to?
This is in reference to a December 1st, 2023 application. He's talking about something that was years old.
Nancy, for the record, what is this appeal for?
This is for the not, them not accepting the, him not accept the East Line, not accepting the application because of an incomplete application.
No, that's...
I'm asking her a question. What was the date of that application? Or what's the date of the appeal? When did he file the appeal?
The date of the appeal.
20th.
Okay, 12/1/2023. We accepted, yes, that's when he filed the appeal.
He filed it on what date?
He filed it as constructive denial because they wouldn't accept the application.
I'm sorry, what was the date though?
12/1/2023.
12/1/2023.
So he's talking about something from 2022. It's not relevant to this case. The UAPA is quite clear that you don't allow...
It's the only application he attempted to submit.
That's not...
Okay, the objection is overruled. We're going to let...
On what grounds? Are you finding that it's relevant?
Yes, I am.
Because this is a 2022.
Your objection was as to relevancy. I find that it's relevant, so we're going to look at the application and we will decide its weight at that...
But that's not the application at the instant case.
That's fine, sir. That will go to weight, not relevancy, okay? So is that, that's in the package, correct?
Correct.
The application dated July...
July 8th, 2022.
2022.
Yep. And there is a connected letter, my reply to him on July 15th, 2022.
Do we have that over here, Nancy, or...
Yeah, hold on a second. I was thinking that we're doing, this is the application for 2022.
If I may offer another objection while you're looking. Now, there's no appearance filed in this case, so I don't know how they can...
Sir, he is the issuing authority.
There's no appearance filed in this case.
He does not need to file an appearance for himself.
I believe he does.
He is the issuing authority.
I would...
He does not.
I would have a different view.
Okay. Your objection is noted and it's overruled. So is this the only copy?
Yeah, you know what? I had made them and I was just thinking that you were the only one that needed to see the copy of the objection. So I left the ones in the office.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
Oh, boy, we'll have to pass this along. So I'm noting that I am looking at a four-page document. It's the State of Connecticut Department of Emergency Service Public Protection State of Police application. Page two and three. We don't have the page one and four?
We don't have what?
Oh, I mean, just page one. Oh, it's just the cover sheet? Okay, all right.
I should know that I did ask in my objection to look at the original documents as well, which is my right, before they're admitted into...
The original document.
The letter that was written to him on July 15th is indicates that the original was returned to him because it was not completely filled out.
Okay. Well, he doesn't have the original, sir, so... We'll pass this around so everybody can...
So it shouldn't be admitted. You can't produce the original.
What's that?
Because I have a right to look at the original.
You have the original.
They're providing their business records, sir. All right, Chief, you may continue.
So as I indicated, it was an incomplete application. And in accordance with 2928B, it states that no state or temporary state permit to carry a pistol or revolver shall be issued under subsection if the applicant has failed to successfully complete a course approved by the Commissioner of Emergency Services and Public Protection and the safety and use of pistols and revolvers. That was not indicated in the application that that had been done, so that's why it was returned to him. I also, again, looking at the prior cases, believe that the incomplete application issue has been addressed with the appellate.
Okay. Sir, do you have any questions for the chief? Cross-examination?
Well, yes, I do. In reference to on the 1st of December 2023, did I visit the East Lyme Police Department headquarters and attempt to introduce an application for a permit?
I have no knowledge of that.
You have no knowledge of that? And, well, he has no knowledge, so as far as background checks go, what does the East Lyme Police Department do in their process?
According to state law, we submit fingerprints to the state of Connecticut and to the FBI for background checks and criminal history. And then we evaluate that history based on that and our internal records that may exist involving incidents involving that individual.
Can you be a little bit more specific into the steps that you take?
The person is fingerprinted. The fingerprints are submitted electronically.
To who do you submit fingerprints to?
The state police and the FBI.
Do you take the fingerprints?
An officer takes the fingerprints in the IDEMA system, and they are electronically transmitted.
So you take fingerprints at the headquarters of the East Lyme Police Department?
Correct.
Did you, do you know if that was asked for by the police department in, on 1 December 2023?
I don't have any knowledge of a conversation with you on 12-1. I had other conversations with you where you had expressed the, let's just say, reluctance to involve yourself in the state police process of registering and getting that number that we are required to have to enter you in the system. There's also documentation that you presented that talked about your conversation with the state police and Special License and Firearms about that process where they indicated to you that it was required.
On what dates did you?
That was part of your application on the 8th of July, 2022.
Okay. Now, in my application for the 1st of December, 2023, what's your objection to that application?
I don't have an application for 12-1.
Okay. So you have no objection because you don't have it.
It was never submitted to me.
Do you accept applications for pistol permits at your headquarters?
Yes, we do.
What is the purpose? Do you require all applicants to be fingerprinted?
Yes, we do.
Does that include people who have already been fingerprinted?
That's correct, yes.
He doesn't have much knowledge in reference to this, so.
Does the board have any questions of the chief?
Just one. Chief, so the only application you have is the one, and I'm sorry, I don't have it anymore, is the one it appears submitted 8 July of 2022?
That's correct.
And that's the one. To the best of your knowledge, that's the one you're representative today.
That is the only one that I had, and again, I responded to him on July 15th, returning the original copy to him, indicating it was not completed and did not have the indication of the pistol permit course, or excuse me, the safety course.
Yep. And was there anything else that was lacking from that application?
Again, he did not submit to the fingerprinting, which is part of the process, so that's why it wasn't processed, because that is the process that we undertake. Somebody comes in, they have the number for the state, that is all processed, they make their payment, it's submitted as an application process, and that starts that process.
And you would do the prints at your facility?
That's correct. But it requires that state.
Yes, understood. But you're doing it at your facility.
Yes,
you're not sending them up here to have it done.
No, thank you.
And you have no records of anything with respect to the appellant from December 2023?
No.
Okay. Other questions by the board?
Yeah.
Yes?
And he also failed to submit any proof of the firearm safety course?
That's correct.
And if I'm correct...
I'm going to object to that question because he already answered he doesn't have information.
You're going to object to the board's question?
Yes, to the relevance,
no.
To the relevance of it, because he just said that he has no idea what I wanted to submit on 12-1-2023. And she's asking him if he submitted...
She's a member of the board, sir.
Yes. Okay. I can still question relevance in reference to a question being asked even by the board member. I mean, how is this...
thought.
She's asking a question that he can't answer because he has no knowledge of the application that I made in December of 2023.
It was part of a letter that the chief sent to you.
But that's from 2022.
Yeah,
not of this application.
I think the other application
is irrelevant.
Yeah, I think what the opponent is saying is this has to do with a denial or a constructive denial from December. The objection is noted, it is overruled, the board will entertain the question or allow it to proceed. Go ahead.
Okay, we still don't have a firearms safety, a proof of firearm, of a firearm safety class.
Correct? That's correct.
May I cross-examine him in reference to that question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Firearms permit safety class, what does that entail?
It entails what the statute directs, if I can read it to you.
I'm just asking from your personal knowledge.
My personal knowledge is of the statute, which I will reference.
I'm asking for your personal knowledge of the safety course.
My personal knowledge is of the statute, which I will reference.
Okay, that's not the question I'm asking. I would ask
that
he be directed to answer the question in reference to his knowledge, in reference to
what's the question?
To his knowledge, what is entailed with the safety course?
How is that relevant, sir?
Well, she just asked a question about a safety course. I'm asking a question.
How is it relevant? What the safety course's embodiment has to do with this case?
Well, because I'm asking for a permit to be able to purchase body armor. So my question is, what in the handgun safety course has any relevance to the obtaining of body armor?
The statute precludes the issuing authority from issuing that permit absent any evidence of a safety course, and it dictates the types of safety courses that are allowable. So we are not able to issue that without that course.
I'm asking the question, does the safety course have anything in the training in reference to body armor?
If you know the answer.
I have no ability to answer that question.
May I present my case?
In a moment.
Thank you.
Chief, do you have any other witnesses?
I do.
You may present your case.
Thank you. Back in, most recently, the East Lyme police in the town have been attacking me, they trump up false criminal charges against me. They have had...
Sir, this has nothing to do with... anything other than a constructive denial from December
20th. I understand. I'm just giving you a background.
I don't need a background. I need to know the facts of this case.
All right. Well, in December, it was decided that I would like to purchase some body armor. And I've looked into the into what is required to do that. And the legislature passed Public Act 23-53. That is included in my appendix. It's on page 3 of the appendix.
Is that our record?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
he's got everything. Number, page number.
Okay, sir, can you tell us what happened in December 2023?
Well, if I can present my case as I see fit.
You can, but we have a full docket here today.
I understand.
And, sir, we realize what the statute says.
Okay.
So we have to get...
I don't think you fully realize. Let me continue. upon me reading Public Act 23-53, that lists several items that you can get. You can get an eligibility certificate for ammo purchase, eligibility certificate for long gun purchase, ammo certificate to eligibility for a pistol, to purchase a handgun. Looking into, now this is post-Bruin, of course, in the post-Bruin rule, I determined that the ammo certificate is actually unconstitutional, so there's never, it certainly implicates my my Second Amendment rights in the text of the Second Amendment. There was a case that I provided to you folks, Roan versus Bonita, in my appendix page 12, where the court found that doing background checks to get ammo, they decided that that wasn't constitutional, it didn't pass constitutional muster. I think what's important to this board is that the Roe versus Bonita case highlights that the Second Amendment is implicated in obtaining ammunition. So the question is the ammo certificate constitutional or not? And once the text of the Second Amendment...
Sir, what does the constitutionality of anything have to do with why we're here today?
Well, because the obtaining body armor has four things you can get.
Okay.
You can get the ammo certificate, the two eligibility certificates, and a permit, a pistol permit.
Sure.
Which I'm calling now the body armor permit.
Okay.
The three... certificate, the ammo certificate, is certainly unconstitutional.
We're not here to decide the constitutionality.
I understand that, but you have to also understand that the ammo certificate, clearly in the Bonita case, Roan versus Kaneda, it activates the need for the government to show that there was historic and tradition in reference to being able to require people to go through background checks. And in the Roe versus Bonita case, the answer to that question in their case was no, you can't require a background check to get the ammunition. So in that matter, the ammo certificate is meaningless.
So this is not an ammo certificate hearing, this is a pistol permit.
I understand that, but you have to understand that the other certificates simply don't exist in a legal
sense.
Okay,
that's noted. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, because I provide that authority in the Marbury versus Madison case, which is in my appendix 89. If you read that,
it's the first case I read in law school, sir.
You read them all, 89.
Yes, first one I read in law school. I'm well aware of it.
And of course, in that case, the. That court found that any law that is unconstitutional is repugnant. And I provide a little analysis that the Indiana Law Journal conducted. It's included in the appendix on page 2005, where a previous case in Johnson noted that any law that is deemed unconstitutional, or found unconstitutional, or is unconstitutional.
Okay, sir, I guess what I'm not understanding is the nexus between constitutional law and the facts of this case.
Okay, because I don't want this board to turn around and say that, well, you have all these other avenues that you can go through to get body armor. Okay?
That's not what we're here to decide. We're here to decide whether the issuing authority should grant you a pistol permit.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, if I can continue, in reference to the, I have it all written down in here. Kind of, you're making this longer than it needs to be. Regarding the Roan case on page 27 of the appendix, the court noted that the presumption of being able to purchase body armor without the need for a background check is presumed. So, in reference to the burden shifts to the government to show that that law passes a historical and tradition analysis that was done under Helen and Bruin. So, right now you should assume, since the text of the Second Amendment is implicated with purchasing ammo, the ammo certificate is unconstitutional. And you should see that You should see that as something
again,
that...
Again, sir, this has nothing to do with an ambulance.
It certainly does. Just...
It certainly does?
Yeah, you should assume that that statute doesn't exist.
You think I should assume that, but I'm not going to make a decision on that, and neither is anybody on this board.
I understand it, but let me put that into the record. It should be assumed that that statute doesn't exist under the Johnson case, which was noted in the Indiana Law Journal.
Sir, you really need to focus on what happened here. Sir, if you're not going to present your case, we're going to have to call a motion.
I am presenting my case.
You're presenting us law that has nothing to do with this board.
Well, also, looking at the pistol permit eligibility certificate, 29-36F, that's also a void statute. It doesn't exist. It's not available to me to obtain body armor. I believe on page 262 of the case, they discussed a case where the court knows you have an unwritten common law gun possession
right. All right, sir, let's talk about 2928.
Okay, well, I think you're not going to allow me to...
We're not talking about these other laws.
Okay.
This board was formed...
Am I going to be allowed to present my case as I see
facts.
It?
Facts.
Yeah, these
yes.
are facts.
These are
case law.
This is law.
This is post
This is law that has absolutely nothing to do with pistol permits.
I think it does, because the pistol...
You might think it does, but I find it completely irrelevant. So if you could tell us what happened in December 2023...
Well, because I don't think, and you haven't allowed me to fully brief you on this, so...
Because you're not talking about it.
Okay.
So why don't you tell us what happened?
I don't believe that the ammo certificate, the pistol eligibility certificate...
very well noted,
and the
sir.
Handgun... eligibility certificate are lawful laws.
Okay.
They don't exist. So
I you've said that several times.
And you're not allowing me to brief you on it.
I don't need to be briefed on it.
You do need, well.
Why?
You do.
Tell
because
me why.
If this goes
Show
to.
Show me an offer of proof as to why it, that is relevant.
Well, if this certainly goes to a Superior Court appeal,
yep.
The court is going to look and see if I briefed you well enough.
On ammo certificates?
On my case. Because I am not arguing that this board cannot, I am not arguing that the state cannot require a permit to purchase body armor. And I wouldn't be before this board here if I didn't believe that you had the authority to issue a permit for me to be able to purchase body armor.
I'm not following that. Is anybody following? I don't can
you can
say that
you
again?
Can issue a permit.
Yep.
Because of statute 50, Public Act 23-53, so that I can purchase body armor.
Public Act.
That's Public Act. That the I think it was the Public Act overall to read. I think it was named something to reduce gun violence.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Something
they added in that.
Yes.
That now previously you could buy body armor without a permit. In 2023 they passed that law.
Yes.
Now you have to have a permit
yep.
to be able to purchase body armor.
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
If you, as you just said, if you were to appeal this to Superior Court, the Superior Court has authority to find issues of law. We do not. We have authority to find facts as it pertains to an application for a pistol permit to an issuing authority. So that's what we should be talking about.
Well,
now.
Well, you also have the authority to determine whether something is mandatory or directory in reference to...
We don't have authority to change the laws.
No, but you can
this
decide whether something...
This was created by a statute, and that statute gives us power to make decisions. We are here on your appeal from a constructive denial for December 1st, 2023, which we have heard no facts about. So you have to tell
well,
us what the facts
you have,
are.
Well... I think you have to understand that the only permit that can be issued for body armor is a pistol permit.
Okay, that's noted. Let's
Do you all agree that that...
I don't know.
That's something we wouldn't want to comment on. That's,
right.
I don't think we would comment on that.
Okay, not right now at least.
That's in law.
What is that?
That's in law. So.
Well, the question is whether
our body, this body will not make a ruling on that law.
No.
So you want to allow me to...
We're going to make a decision on your constructive denial. So let's hear the facts of that.
Okay. So it'll be noted that I'm being limited as to what I can address the board.
Certainly, it's noted.
Thank you. Yes, so I was seeking a permit so I could purchase body armor. Mm-hmm. And I went over to the headquarters, the East Lyme Police Department, with a completed application in hand, with monies to be given. And I believe that if you look, and I submitted the pistol permit form in my appendix, and you can see what's required. It's page 379 of my appendix. I believe it was the second supplemental appendix.
Yep, we have 379. It's page 104 of the application.
And you can see a bunch of those fees. You can see a fee of $13.25. You can see a fee of $70 going to payable to the treasurer, and you can see a fee of $70.
Yes.
For.
Yep.
And $75 for fingerprinting.
Yep.
Okay, you have to get a pistol permit certificate. You know, passing of a safety class for that.
Yep.
Now that cost isn't associated here, but the state does not give those safety courses. You have to go to a private individual, a private person for that. And I have issues with these fees because the way that the law is that a difference between a fee and a tax is that a fee covers the actual cost to an agency to recover the cost for doing the work that they need to do. And a tax, is in reference to costs that are associated, but not directly, but aren't associated with the recovery of monies to perform the services needed for the collection of that money. In my appendix, page 146, the Vandermeil case, it goes into a tax on ammunition. And the court ruled there that it was indeed a tax, it was not a fee, because it had no relationship to anything related to the tax. You can see here that they're charging $75 for fingerprinting, but that I believe that's a tax. I mean, it doesn't cost $75 to fingerprint somebody. You know, I was an FFL, I held an FFL for years and years. I know that it doesn't cost $75 to run a background check on somebody either. It costs very little money. So the question as to whether these fees are permissible or not, whether they're mandatory or directory, if they're constitutional or not, I mean, the burden is on the state to show that those are actual fees as opposed to taxes. And I think there's so much money being collected here, and I calculated it out. You know, it's about $150 to go through a safety course. And that's not even conducted by a government agency. That's a private person. So that's a for-profit cost. You're paying money. He's making money off those. You know, the person who conducts the safety courses make money off of them. So that's certainly not a fee. That's a tax. So you really can't require a safety course if it's going to be a tax. In addition, when it comes to fingerprinting, the court in the CCDL case, which I show on page 45, of my appendix, there is a section in there talking about fingerprints. And the court notes that on page 46 of the appendix, and I quote, "Unless the applicant's fingerprints are already on file, the applicant must show up in person to the local town hall or police station and have his or her fingerprints taken. Now, when I went to the town hall on the 1st of December, 2023, with my application in hand, they rejected it for the purpose that they told me I had to go over to here to DESPP headquarters and have my fingerprints taken. Now, in my case, in my specific case, they've already taken my fingerprints. They already have my fingerprints on file. So there's no reason for me to have my fingerprints taken again. And my argument in reference to fingerprints is you're a person who never had your fingerprints taken to begin with. So you taking your fingerprints isn't helping with identification of the person at all if their fingerprints never have been taken before. So what's the point of taking them then? And if your fingerprints have already been taken, you don't need to take them again according to the federal district court in 2020. The court noted that if your fingerprints are already taken, you don't have to take them again. So there's no need for that. So the issue with fingerprints, in my case, they demanded I come up here to DESPP HQ. I was right there at the headquarters. He just testified that they take fingerprints there. They didn't take my fingerprints. So I was there available to take fingerprints. When they asked me to go to DESPP headquarters to take fingerprints, I objected. And I asked to talk, and I was rejected with my application being even submitted. They wouldn't even take it. They said, first you have to go to DESPP headquarters and have your fingerprints taken. I said, well, that's not true. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And the guy said, I don't. And they were non-responsive when I was trying to discuss fingerprints with them. They just rejected my application, so you have to go to DESPP headquarters, which is obviously just contrary to what he just testified to. So, and, you know, they've taken my fingerprints before, like I said. They're on a rampage. They have false statements being created by the police department in town to try to get me arrested. You can see with my motion to subpoenas on 314, I highlight what a court found in reference to one of those cases. And if you don't have it, I'll just read it to you. The court, state your objection to a dismissal. Attorney,
sir, I'm sorry, we have no idea what you're talking about. What case? What court? What?
This was in the New London Criminal Court.
Okay.
I was charged with trespassing.
Okay.
It's in reference to an incident where I went over to a Board of Assessment Appeals member's home because I discovered that the town was conducting illegal property assessment appeals, and I wanted the Board of Assessment Appeals to know. So I visited one of the board members' house, and we had a nice conversation outside, and it was very nice and cordial. I was just letting them know that the town is doing things that only the board...
Okay, how is the New London case relevant to this case?
It's a pattern of conduct with the town and the police department. You can't... right now, the only...
I don't think we're finding patterns here. We're determining whether the town wrongfully, constructively denied a permit in December 2023.
Yes.
So
well,
that's not going to be relevant to this.
But it,
all right,
on December
1st. So what I'm not understanding is, in this record here that you've submitted, I don't see an application. I see page one of the application, but we don't have the rest.
See page one of the application?
So that's page 379.
Page 379
of your thing.
What we don't have is the application from December 1st.
Ah, I see. That's a good, yeah. Yeah, page 379 is just the blank
okay.
form.
Yep.
Do you have
first page?
3 through 4, or 2 through 4? Pages 2 through 4?
You mean the completed application that
yes.
I went to submit?
Yes.
No, I do not, because it got lost, it got destroyed. I can't find
okay,
it anymore.
So that's no good for the record.
But it was a completed application. When I went to when I went to the headquarters and personally wanted to submit the application, they said, we won't take it. You have to go to DSPP headquarters, as I said before. They have the ability to take fingerprints right there. I have no idea why they were sending me to DSPP headquarters, and especially after the 2020 case of CCDL versus Lamont, where the court noted that you don't have to take fingerprints if he's already been taken. So I asked to speak to somebody else, because
you said, so you talked a lot about the fingerprints over the last few minutes. You also talked a lot earlier about the firearm safety course.
Yes.
Did you complete the firearm safety course?
Well, I went to DESPP's website,
yeah,
and they have a list,
yeah,
of people who can do the safety course. Unfortunately, I called many of them, and they didn't do the safety course anymore. So the list of the DSPP...
So you don't have a certificate to present with,
well,
that.
I did contact a couple that I found online, and all of them required a person to be able to get a pass, to pass the course, that you'd be able to discharge a firearm, a handgun.
Okay.
I cannot do that because I have a medical condition that doesn't allow me to safely discharge a handgun.
Okay.
So
your testimony, as we say here today, is you don't have that certificate to present with an application.
I don't think it's relevant to getting
well,
a body
armor. Well, it's very relevant to our decision because we're bound by statute, and that's what the statute says.
Well, the statute has basically been changed by Public Act 23-53 that now has it where to get body armor, you have to get a pistol permit. Now, I understand that you see there's a conflict here, but it's really not, because there's never been a requirement for a person to get a safety course passage to get body armor. And so the government is going to be, it certainly, as I note in my appendix, page 44, you know, body armor is certainly something that's
okay,
protected under the Second Amendment.
The
government is going to have to show,
sir,
how a safety course is going to be relevant to getting body armor,
sir,
through a history and tradition.
I understand completely what you're saying now, is that you are finding a constitutionality problem with the requirement for you completing the gun safety course, which you say you cannot do based on your phone calls to several providers of that course because you can't fire, I guess, a firearm due to your medical condition.
I can't shoot a handgun.
Okay. That being said, that goes perhaps to maybe an Americans with Disabilities Act issue, perhaps a constitutionality of the statute itself. We are not in a position to decide the constitutionality of that statute. We are only empowered to decide whether you were constructively denied.
Well, you can decide on a case-by-case basis whether the completion of the safety course is mandatory or directory. And obviously, when they added body armor as a something that you, if you want to purchase body armor, you have to get a pistol permit, because the other certificates are unconstitutional. They don't exist. There is never a requirement to get a pre-approved to purchase a firearm or to purchase ammo. Back in 1791, the burden is going to be on the government to show that that was subject to laws back then.
All right, sir. So,
and
29-28, no state or temporary permit to carry a pistol or revolver shall be issued under this section if the applicant A, for any application filed prior to July 1st, 2024, has failed to successfully complete a course approved by the Commissioner of Emergency Services and Public Protection in the safety and use of pistols and revolvers, including but not limited to a safety training course and the use of pistols or revolvers available to the public offered by a law enforcement agency, a private or educational, art or public educational institution, or a firearms training school, utilizing instructors certified by the National Rifle Association or the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, and a safety or training course in the use of pistols or revolvers conducted by an instructor certified by the state or National Rifle Association. So your testimony is you don't have that.
My testimony is it's not mandatory for the purchase of body armor. They changed, they essentially made the...
It's mandatory for the issuance of a state or temporary permit, which is our power.
You can't just look at one statute by itself. You have to look at...
I have to look at this statute that created this board, which gives us one responsibility to sustain your appeal or not. So your testimony is that you have not done this course. So
I can't complete the course. It's not possible. It's not physically possible.
Then that's a separate issue that I can't decide.
Well, then you have to decide whether it is can be required for that course to be
the legislature
mandatory or directory.
Or the court can. I can't. This is an administrative agency, as you know.
I understand the position I'm putting you in. But you have to understand that the completion of a safety course is a tax, which you cannot require to exercise right, period.
Okay,
and
that's
second
loaded,
of all,
second
of all, the question is, you know, were safety courses ever required to be able to even carry a firearm to begin with? That goes back to 1791.
Sir, there's two lawyers on this board and no judges.
I understand.
And we don't have the power of the court.
Well, you do have the power to look at
and
the law.
And we also don't have your application. So how are we going to determine your suitability?
Well, my suitability, I'm obviously wearing body armor here and I'm not under arrest. Mm-hmm. So I'm obviously qualified to obtain body armor.
There would need to be a background check and all the other things. And I'll just note, you stated you gave the issuing authority a completed application in December. They returned it to you.
Was it completed like the one in July?
Because this was not completed. You didn't answer.
It's not relevant to...
Well, I'm just interested because you didn't submit us a copy of what you say you submitted to the issuing authority in December. So my question is, did you provide them a complete application in December that's notarized under penalties of perjury, answering each of the questions?
Answering each of the questions? Some of the questions, I believe, are irrelevant.
So you didn't answer all the questions? I'm just asking because I don't know because have it.
Well, this board may wish to turn around and say, complete the new application and have them review it because they didn't accept the application that I had to begin with. And the question, you know, the questions on the application, they can ask any question they like. The question is if they're mandatory to answer or not. The first question is, have you ever been confined to a hospital for mental illness? Now, what is that relevant to getting a body armor?
The statute, sir.
Yeah, what's relevant?
The statute.
What's
the statute that empowers this board to make decisions. It says it in the statute.
Yeah, but the statute has been changed by 23-53.
I don't think they removed that requirement.
No, they did not.
Was there any requirement to get body armor back in 1791 that you answer these questions? That's the question it comes down to when it comes to relevance.
I think you're going to have to ask the court that, sir. I'll also note in your questionnaire to us, which we ask questions of you, which we think are relevant, you state they're not relevant. Like, have you ever filed an appeal with this board? Not relevant.
How is that relevant? I mean, you handle cases on a case-by-case basis.
Certainly. And we take all the facts and circumstances into account. And if we determine that's relevant,
But they're not relevant.
All right. Well, not to you. Not to you. And you've made that.
It's in my objection to there.
All right.
The courts have ruled that, you know, your cases don't set precedent.
One last question. The application you submitted December 1st, 2023, was it completed and notarized with all the questions being answered?
With all the questions? No, I had objections and questions.
Okay. Well, if there's a motion, I'll entertain.
Make a motion to find for the issuing authority based on the fact that the appellant has failed to comply with the statutory requirements for permit applications according to Connecticut General Statute 29.8.
I will second it.
Okay, discussion on the motion.
Regardless of your reasons for not filling out the application, regardless of your beliefs to constitutionality, for relevance to body armor, whatever, you never submitted a complete application.
I did. A sufficient application.
No, you have not submitted a complete, statutorily complete application. We are not empowered to grant your permit. I'm sorry.
It was a complete in accordance with the...
You just testified.
I'm providing it was sufficient application
to you.
But you just testified that you didn't answer all the questions.
I don't have to answer irrelevant questions. It's simple. The statute doesn't show any questions to ask. The statute just says a complete application.
The statute is very clear.
Statute never says you have to answer specific questions.
Are there any other comments? All right. The motion was made by Ms. Johnson to find for the issuing authority. It was seconded by Colonel Overturf. I'm going to call the roll. A vote for the issuing authority is a vote in favor of the motion. A vote for the appellant is against the motion. Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
For the motion, issuing authority.
Colonel Overturf.
For the motion.
Mr. Gray.
For the motion.
Attorney Sinetti.
For the motion, issuing authority.
And chair votes for the motion. Motion passes unanimously at 11:07. Thank you both.
Thank you.